The Power of the Word is brought to you each week by the support of our partners and friends. Today on Power of the Word.
But I believe that there has to be, according to Scripture, a great harvest of souls. Now, not according to my opinion, but I believe according to Scripture, I believe there has to be a great ingathering of souls. Because that giant that you saw taking its flight into heaven, that's representative of the rapture of the church. And if you notice that tribulation area, that started after the church was gone in that vision. So I believe the rapture of the church is, well, imminent. It could happen today. It could. That'd be okay, but I don't think it will. Again, there's reasons that I don't.
Every great journey begins with a single step. Do you have everything you need to take that first step? Or to keep going when the road gets hard? Discover how to have the faith you need for your journey through life with Dr. King's series, Faith for the Journey.
You can have a book full of God's words, but the only ones that come to pass for you are the ones that you agree with and come out of your mouth. If you'll believe in your heart and say with your mouth what he says, then you can have what he says.
You can receive this insightful 3-CD set for a gift of $20, or download the MP3s for $10 and learn where faith begins, the importance of the words you speak, how to energize and increase your faith, how to make faith a lifestyle, the significance of walking in love and forgiveness, and much more. To order this series, go to poweroftheword.com or call us at 1-800-956-4433.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It really, really, really is. Praise God. You know, we've been in a little series talking about atmospheres. God works in atmospheres, and we've taken a little segment of that overall theme to talk about welcoming the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. And, you know, a lot of that's done in attitude, and then a lot of it's done in other ways. We, of course, everything comes out of the heart, you know. That's where it comes from. So you can have right actions with wrong motives, and it, you know, it's not very effective. So it all starts on the inside out. And so we create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit by a desire. We want it. We want Him. And that's where it starts. But then you do certain things. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we can say we love the Lord, but then we got to do what he said. So to have an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit, of course, we want it, and it's a desire, but then we have to do the things that are necessary consistent with it. Amen? And that's what we've been talking about, creating an atmosphere where God can get his will done in the earth. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit more. I'm going to continue on with, I had really thought probably last week talking about the Holy Spirit. I probably thought I'm through with that portion. To go into another part of that atmosphere thing. But I really didn't feel like God was through with it. So I want to talk to you a little bit more. Is that okay? Now, a number of years ago, I was first made aware of what I'm going to share with you well in excess of 40 years ago that I know of. And it's been something in a variety of ways over a process of years that would come back to me. Attention would be drawn back to it. And then you rethink it and you restate it. And I think it's appropriate now to go back and rethink and restate some of these things that I'm beginning or going to mention to you. But there was a vision by Tommy Hicks that, how many have heard that vision? How many have not? Well, Tommy Hicks was an international evangelist that traveled the world middle part of the last century and had some tremendous outpourings of God's Spirit. I think the most notable one was in Argentina and really literally changed a whole nation. And this vision that he had, and I'm forced because of just the inability to get it across without reading it. I you know, to try to remember it's a little hard, and then you don't know if you convey it accurately, but I'm forced to a degree to just read from it. Is that all right? Because I think it'll help you. But this message or this vision that he had was in July of 1961. So it's that far back. And I'll just begin to read. As the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself at a great high distance where I was, I do not know. But I was looking down upon the earth. Suddenly the whole earth came into view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight. From the east and from the west and from the north and the south, I recognized every country and many cities that I had been in. And I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the sight before me. And at that moment, as the earth came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. As the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downwards. I was facing the north. Suddenly, I beheld what looked like a giant. And as I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great in stature. His feet seemed to reach to the North Pole and his head to the south. Its arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this was a mountain or whether this would be a giant. But as I watched, I suddenly beheld this great giant, and I could see it was struggling for life, to even live. But his body was covered with debris from head to foot, and at times this great giant would move its body and act as though it would even rise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away, hideous-looking creatures that would run away from this giant. And when he would become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand toward the heavens, and then it lifted its other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go into the darkness and into the night. Slowly, this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds, and as he arose, his feet seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon it, and he began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord. And as he raised his hands, it was even into the clouds. Suddenly, every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver I had ever known. As I watched this phenomena, it was so great, I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched it and cried unto the Lord, and I said, "Oh Lord, what is the meaning of this?" And it felt as if actually in the spirit that I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. And from the clouds suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon the mighty giant, and slowly, slowly, this giant began to melt and began to sink, as it were, into the very earth itself. And as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth, and this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light, as it were, began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. And as I beheld the sight before me, people stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. At that very moment, there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heaven. I turned and my eyes toward heaven, and suddenly I saw a figure in white, glistening white, the most glorious thing I had ever seen in all my life. I did not see the face, but somehow I knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he stretched forth his hand, as he did, he would stretch forth his hand upon the people and the nations of the world, men and women. And as he pointed towards them, this liquid light seemed to flow from his hand into this person, and a mighty anointing of God would come upon them. And those people began to go forth in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched. It seemed it went into days and weeks and months, and I beheld Christ as he continued to stretch forth his hand. But there was a tragedy. There were many people, as he stretched forth his hand, that refused the anointing of God. And the call of many people, as he stretched forth his hand, they refused, and God, and I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt that certainly they would receive the call of God, but as he stretched forth his hand toward this one and toward that one, they simply bowed their head and began to go back away. And to each of those who seemed to bow down and back away, they seemed to go into darkness. Blackness seems to swallow them everywhere. I was bewildered as I watched it, but these people that had he had anointed hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, in Africa, Asia, Russia, China, America, all over the world, the anointing of God was upon these people as they went forth in the name of the Lord. I saw these men and women as they went forth. They were ditch diggers, they were washerwomen, they were rich men, they were poor men. I saw people who were bound with paralysis and sickness and blindness and deafness. And as the Lord stretched forth his hand to give them the anointing, they became well. They became healed, and they went forth. And as this this is the miracle of it, this is the glorious miracle of it, those people would stretch forth their hands exactly as the Lord did, and it seemed that they were the same, that there was the same liquid fire that seemed to be in their hand, and they stretched forth their hand and said, according to my word, be thou made whole. And these people continued in this mighty end time ministry. I did not fully realize what it was, and I looked to the Lord and said, what is the meaning of this? And he said, this is that I will do in the last days. I will restore all that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, I will restore all that they have destroyed. And this my people in the end time shall go forth as a mighty army, and they shall sweep over the face of the earth. Now, there's more to this that I could read, but that gives you the essence of what is going on. There's this giant, and of course, this giant is the church. But one thing that he said about this, he said in this outpouring, he said, I never saw a church. I never heard of a denomination, but these people were going in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so it's really the church. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a denomination. There's nothing wrong with the church. But church is not a place to contain us. The church is a place to equip us. We go for edification, we go for community, but we're not limited to the four walls of the church. But this great giant is what God was doing in the last days. Now, I'll read a little more. I'm skipping some things for time's sake. It says, God is going to give to the world demonstrations in this last hour such as the world has never known. These men and women are of all walks of life. Degrees will mean nothing. I saw these workers as they were going forth over the face of the earth. And when one would seem to stumble and fall, another would come and pick them up. There was no big I and little you. But every mountain was brought low and every valley was exalted. And they seemed to have one thing in common. There was divine love that seemed to flow forth from these people as they went together, as they worked together, as they lived together. It was the most glorious thing I have ever known. Jesus Christ was the theme of their life. That's wonderful.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. When you partner with Power of the Word, you are sharing that same love and making a real difference in the lives of hopeless and hurting people. Through our television ministry, we have the potential to reach millions of households across the world with the powerful messages of Jesus Christ.
Your giving, your partnership, brings that anointing into your life. That's what Paul said. He said, grace on me gets on you.
Help us continue to spread the gift of Jesus with your gift today. To give, go to powerofthewordcom. Call us at 800-956-4433 or text the word give to 865-978-6380. Partner with Power of the Word and help us change lives.
Suddenly there was another loud clap of thunder, and it seemed to resound around the world, and I heard again the voice, and the voice seemed to speak. Now this is my people. This is my beloved bride. And when the voice spoke, I looked upon the earth, and I could see the lakes and the mountains. The graves were open, and people from all over the world, the saints of all ages, seemed to be rising. As they rose from the grave, suddenly all these people came from every direction. And they seemed to be forming again the gigantic body as the dead in Christ seemed to be rising first. I could hardly comprehend it. It was so marvelous. It was so far beyond anything I could ever dream or think of. But as the body suddenly began to form and take shape again, it took shape again in the form of this mighty giant. But at this time, it was different. It was arrayed in the most beautiful, gorgeous white. Its garments were without spot or wrinkle as the body began to form. And the people of all ages seemed to be gathering into the body, and slowly, slowly it began to form up into the heavens. Suddenly, from the heavens above, the Lord Jesus came, became the head. And I heard another clap of thunder that said, this is my beloved bride in whom I have waited. She will come forth, even tried by fire. This is she that I have loved from the beginning of time. Now, there's another part to this, and it's important that I mention this part too. He said, I watched my eyes suddenly turned to the far north, and I saw seemingly destruction, men and women in anguish and crying out, and buildings in destruction. Then I heard again the fourth voice that said, now is my wrath being poured forth upon the face of the earth, from the ends of the whole earth, world, from the ends of the whole world, the wrath of God seemed to be poured out, and it seemed that there were great vials of God's wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth. I can remember it as though it happened a moment ago. I shook and trembled as I began the awful sight of seeing cities, nations going down into destruction. I could hear the weeping and the wailing. I could hear people crying. They seemed to cry as they went into caves, but the caves and the mountains opened up. They leaped into water, but the water would not drown them. There was nothing that seemingly could destroy them. They were wanting to take their life, but they could not take it. Then again, I turned my eyes unto the body arrayed in the beauty of white garments. Slowly, slowly, it began to rise from the earth. And as it did, I awoke, and I had seen the end time ministry of the last hour. Now, this happened again in July of 1961. Now, if you've not read that or seen that before, now again, it's been over 40 years ago that I read that for the very first time. And every time I hear it or remind myself of it, biblically, it all fits. It all fits scripturally. It all is in the proper sequence, in the proper order. Just God gave him a visual of things that were coming. Now, there's so much conflicted information. The reason I wanted to bring that out, give us a little basis of talking today. There's so much conflicted information among people that I consider to be good people, people I consider to be, of course, love the Lord, and maybe have different or maybe even the same viewpoints on end time unfolding of scripture and things of that nature. But people have a different way of interpreting what's coming. And I don't think that in many cases, even though it's so conflicted in what their conclusions are, I don't think they're necessarily wrong. I don't think this necessarily, you say, well, how could they both be right? Well, I think that probably the best way you can probably describe it as you find in Isaiah 60 in verse number 1. We'll read there. He said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." But, and that's a contrasting word. One thing, but another thing. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." So we find a conflicted story or a conflicted narrative or a conflicted set of events that are going on at the same time. In one place, there's this great light that comes. In another place, there's great heartache, destruction, various things. So it really depends on what viewpoint or what vantage point you're speaking from. Both can be true, but are they true to you? And in a sense, they are. Because we have a conflicted world. We have a world that is in turmoil. It's in crisis. It has great difficulty, and any of us can see it. You don't have to look very hard. And any of us that are at least a bit spiritually perceptive know without a doubt that we're entering into a different time. We've already entered it, but I don't think the pace is going to slow down. I don't think that things are going to go. We're not going back to where we were. That's just not going to happen. However, for us, even though we know we're in this world, we're not of it. So the word to the world is, you need to get your house in order. The word to the world is, wake up. There's an awakening call going out to the world. But for us as believers, there's another call. Our calling is saying, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. We're not lost like the world. We're redeemed by His blood. We live in the world. We're not of the world. You're affected by the things of the world, certainly. You go to the gas pump, you go to the grocery store just like everybody else. But you do have a provider, and they don't have it. You do have answers that they don't have. So you can find here in Scripture, you can find both stories and both narratives, and it depends on what the preacher is and who he is as to what story he's telling. So these men that I respect and admire that have such different takes on where we are in time, I think to a degree they're both right. It just depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to the world, you better duck. If you're talking to the church, you better look up. And it's a different story. And we need to get our story straight. And we need to understand. We need to know who we are and what it's all about for each of us. God didn't call us here to be full of fear. He didn't call us here to go underground. Now, there's reasons why. Now, we're still in this theme of atmospheres, but with a little different twist on it today. There's reasons why I believe that there will be a great revival. And I believe that this revival will take place in the midst of great darkness. And I believe that there will be those who are called out, just like that vision said. There are those that God is imparting an anointing to, and there's those who will back away and go into darkness. And that's as scriptural as you can get. Jesus is not going to make anybody do anything, but He will give them an opportunity. And I believe why there will be a revival. Number one, I believe God is bigger than the devil. I just don't believe the devil's the winner. And I don't care what the devil does. I think God's smarter than him. I think he's more capable than him. And I think he's able to do exceeding abundantly more than any of us could even ask or think, or even this world could try to figure out. And when you don't think he's at work, trust me, he's at work. He didn't leave us. He didn't forsake us. He's always here. Amen. And it won't be political that'll bring the outpouring. Somebody said, well, do you think that, you know, if the election, you know, and all that, do you think that's going to really, if there's a red wave or something, do you think that's going to cause a revival? No, I don't think that at all. But, you know, there are certain things that would be helpful to it. So the election can have an effect, and the election may be important to what God wants to do. But I'm telling you, God's still God. I don't care what anybody says. He's still God. Amen? Now, I do believe the election's important, so don't misunderstand any of that. Matter of fact, I believe it's critically important. But I believe that there has to be, according to Scripture, a great harvest of souls. Now, not according to my opinion, but I believe according to Scripture, I believe there has to be a great ingathering of souls. Because that giant that you saw taking its flight into heaven, that's representative of the rapture of the church. And if you notice that tribulation area, that started after the church was gone in that vision. So I believe the rapture of the church is, well, imminent. It could happen today. It could. You know, we know that we're in the end times, the latter days, the last of the latter days, in my opinion. And we know that there's turmoil on every side. We know that. There's chaos, there's conflicts in the Middle East, there's conflicts around the world. But even in the middle of all that, the Bible says that when Jesus comes, he's coming for a glorious church, a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He's not coming for a defeated group that's hidden off in a cave somewhere, living on stale manna, so to speak, your tribulation food. That's not what he's coming for. He's coming for a victorious church, the people are full of his life and his light and his glory. That's the way you got to think. That's the way you need to think. Well, don't you know what's going on? I know what's going on, but I know who's coming, and I know what he's coming for. So we're going to have victory as we leave, and you can believe that. If you don't know Jesus, why don't you reach out right now, right there where you're at, and ask him to come into your heart and give you the peace that passes all understanding. He'll do it. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I take you right now as my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you to serve you today and forever. Sin, Satan, I don't serve you. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer, know you meant it. You'd never pray a prayer like that and not mean it. Let us know here at Power of the Word. The reason we want you to let us know is, number one, we want to know about you, but we want to pray with you. And it's important that you tell somebody what you've done. That's what seals it in your heart. We appreciate you being a part of what we do here. We don't do it for us. We do it for you. And we thank you for connecting with us. In Jesus' name, bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next time.